Blog Talk Radio.
This is Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and that was Petra, song called Pied Piper. And back in the 1980s, in the early 1980s, I was conducting presentations in the Midwest on secular rock music, and we were trying to promote Christian contemporary music as an alternative, because it's, what you know, garbage in, garbage out. It just made common sense. And back in the 80s, Catholic music, as far as contemporary style, contemporary music, was almost non-existent. But today, there's a lot of good, fine groups out there that are, it's gotten a lot better. And, just Christian music in general has gotten a lot better. And Petra's one of those early bands that was out there trying to make a difference And they were good. I mean, I remember in Germany, I took about 90 Catholic young people and soldiers to see a Petra concert there in Frankfurt, Germany. And it was awesome. And, you know, just alternatives like that, Pied Piper. And what does the story of the Pied Piper, you know, they paid the Pied Piper to take care of, you know, to get rid of all the mice and all that stuff. And when it came to paying up, well, they wouldn't do it or what have you. And the point is that he used his music to take all the children, and they followed him, and they were never seen from again. And so we kind of see that in so many ways today, how our young people are being dragged off in a way. And it's important for us to be strong in our holy Catholic faith and not be caught up in all this stuff about false doctrines and everything. And that's what leads to tonight. I've got on the with me tonight, I've got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, Bourbon, Missouri. And she's hanging on here. She's in the process of kind of traveling around here. So, Kathy, are you there at this point in time, or are you on the bandwagon right now?
I'm here.
Okay. Outstanding. How did you make it home?
Yeah, I was just putting my equipment away, but I'm home. I'll have this thing just a second. I'm listening.
Outstanding. Okay, well, I'm going to kind of get into the show. And this was inspired with a show that Deeper Truth member John Carpenter conducted this past Sunday night on the Journey with Mary show, radio show. He's about Medjugorje. He brought up a quotation of the Virgin Mary that that goes back to July 24th, 1982. And this is what Our Lady said, and I quote, "You go to heaven in full conscience, that which you have now. At the moment of death, you are conscious of the separation of the body and soul. It is false to teach people that you are reborn many times and that you pass to different bodies. One is born only once. The body, drawn from the earth, decomposes after death. It never comes back to life again. Man receives a transfigured body." Transfigured. I've always heard it and called it a glorified body. We will be like our Lord. He transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and that showed his divinity, the glory of his divinity. And so we will be like him. And so that's what Our Lady is talking about. And so the issue of reincarnation, what Mother Mary was responding to was a question that was asking her regarding reincarnation. Well, this false belief of reincarnation kind of crept into American culture through the influx of Eastern mysticism. In the 1960s, rock groups such as the Beach Boys, and yes, the Beach Boys. You know, a lot of people think of them as harmless, but in the 1960s, they weren't really all that harmless, the Beach Boys and the Beatles. They began spreading this influx that became popular through their music and concert appearances. It is estimated that after the Beach Boys' 1968 concert, they began, they had Maharishi Mahesh Yogi preach the ways of transcendental meditation and this Eastern mysticism, which includes reincarnation. And it is estimated that as a result of all this, nearly 1 million young Americans became followers of this movement. The Beatles also took an interest in this kind of religion, especially George Harrison, who became a follower of Hare Krishna. The next time you listen to that song, Harrison's song, My Sweet Lord, which, I mean, it had a real catchy tune to it. You know, my sweet Lord. Then in the background, you could hear this, Alleluia. You know, just kind of a really snappy, kind of like a song there. But if you pay attention to the ending of the song is not dedicated to Jesus Christ, folks. It's dedicated to Hare Krishna. And that's what they exchanged the Alleluia to Krishna, Krishna, and, you know, this whole thing. And it's so sad. As this Krishna consciousness began to filter into the United States through this invasion of thought, our culture began to radically change. Oh, and we can see it over the past 50, 60 years. When I was at Medjugorje, I had the opportunity to witness some Buddhist pilgrims visiting there. And I was able to take Our Lady's message about reincarnation, their debunking reincarnation, and applying her response with that, with what the Bible says on the subject. And I think this is very interesting, too. You go to Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 22 to 28. It says, according to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified by these rites. But the heavenly things themselves, by better sacrifices than these, for Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself. Think about that, but heaven itself. And he might now appear before God on our behalf. And how important that is for us, ladies and gentlemen, that he is there on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly. No, not at all. As the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own, if that were so, he, that would be Jesus, would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once and for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. And this is the kicker right here. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment. This is exactly what the Virgin Mary reportedly said there at Medjugorje. So also Christ offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time at the parousia, at the second coming. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So he is coming back a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him, just like Kathy and Dave there in Bourbon, Missouri, and what their family is preparing for. They're preparing for Jesus. And they see him, of course, every time they go to Mass, by the way. Well, anyway, yes, Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And he will come at the end of this age to usher in the seventh age that will last forever. It says that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that he will come, that he is with us even till the end of the age. And when this age is over, when it happens, nobody knows the end. Nobody knows the day or the hour. As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. We have glimpses. We can think, hey, we got all this stuff going on. But no one knows. Nobody knows. We just have to prepare ourselves and be ready for us. Well, this life has one life to live. Our Lady's response is totally biblical and should be a warning to those who push strange doctrines such as reincarnation. And John Carpenter did, he presented the point that there are manifestations out there that seem to point to reincarnation. I mean, people, dreams, and all these things. Well, these are demonic instructions. That's how sad and how serious this can be when you listen it up. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 warns that now explicitly says that in the last times, some will turn away from the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and demonic instructions through the hypocrisy of liars with branded consciences. And then St. Paul continues, writing to St. Timothy. He says, if you will give these instructions to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching you have followed. Avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion. For while physical training is of limited value, which is great for an athlete, I was an athlete almost all my life. I mean, you know, I'm living on the fumes of who I used to be. That's true. But being an athlete, I love this verse. For while limited value, you know, while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds a promise of life both for the present and for the future. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 9. And I think that is important. We are to train ourselves in the way of righteousness, and we have to be committed to it. And sometimes it takes work. So that's what St. Paul is telling us. And I think the devotions, when I think of the rosary is the queen of devotions. So that's something that we should take on. Well, Our Lady, the Mother of Christ, continues to point to her Son, Jesus Christ. As he says in John chapter 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Excuse me. Except through me. And that's what Jesus said. That's what she does. She's not in any way competing with Mary or with Jesus. They're so connected, and unfortunately, some people try to like they're standing against each other. They're not. They are totally in sync with one another. Mary is supporting her Son, and she wants us to get to know him in a more deeper, closer way. Well, after about 2 hours of speaking with these Buddhist pilgrims at Medjugorje, they came to a deep relationship with Jesus through Mother Mary. Jesus through Mary. That's the best known way. Well, that was wonderful to see and participate in. And I told him if Buddha, who had lived about 600 years before Christ, if he would have had the opportunity to have known Jesus, he would have knelt at the feet of Jesus. And they really appreciated that thought. They really did. I explained that when you go to the grave of Jesus, Jesus is not there. He is risen. All these other religious founders are still in their grave. And that is the truth. And so Jesus rose from the dead, and that's what separates him from all these others. For real. One of the things. But that's a major. His resurrection is huge. But with this false religion, what I would call the return of ancient paganism, we are seeing the aftermath of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Contraception, abortion, homosexuality, divorce, destruction of the family, and confusion of what a family is brings in the sad consequences of death, disease, suicide, loss of faith. Oh my goodness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5 clearly expresses these times. It says, but understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious. And that's really kind of sensual, you know, in a bad way. Brutal. Hating what is good, traitors, and notice here, St. Paul refers to traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense of religion but deny its power, reject them. And when I read that and I see that, so many people tell me, well, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I'm thinking about what they don't, obviously don't see this. To have a real relationship, you have to have his religion. There's no way you can get around it. And what it says here, as they make a pretense of religion, but deny its power, reject them. Well, these things seem to be interconnected. To me, that's classic rebellion. Ephesians chapter 5:11 states, take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything sponsored, or well, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And how sad that is, ladies and gentlemen, how sad it is to learn how Satan has deceived so many through these false prophets of our time. Notice how, again, that song that I was talking about earlier, George Harrison, the song, My Sweet Lord, how they switched the Alleluia, which Alleluia, by the way, means praise the Lord. So what is he basically doing here? He's praising Krishna in this song. Notice he switches, they switch the Alleluia to Krishna in this song. And sadly, George Harrison was raised Catholic. He was raised Catholic who abandoned Christ for a false god. Notice, and there's a video there that is their high quality video, and it has a lot of pictures of George Harrison. And when I see this video, he reminds me of any kid who has lost his way. It's really sad. I mean, you look at a lot of his younger pictures, he looks like a kid, a young man who had all opportunities. And that's what's so sad when I think about some of these musicians, that they're great guitarists, drummers, what have you, and they just they took their talent and they went away from the Lord with it. And that's so sad. Music is so important. In praise, when we sing to God, we pray twice. Instead, let us offer our songs of praise to Jesus Christ. One of my favorite songs, Be Not Afraid, which is not a really contemporary rock song. It's more of a praise and worship song, Catholic, you know, Be Not Afraid. This was my dedication song when I was stationed in Korea. And when my mother, when she was laying on her deathbed, my mother, when I was at a conference in San Diego, California, when I got the word that they believed that my mother had a stroke at the time, but when I got there to where my mom is in Missouri, she was in Missouri near Springfield, not too far from Springfield. I got there, and she was basically on her deathbed. That's what the doctors gave her, 2 days to live. And my mother asked me, we brought her home because she didn't want to die in the hospital. And I'm sitting next to her bed, and my mother asked me, do you believe that the Lord would receive me when I pass? I said, Mom, you know he'll receive you. You can trust in his word and stand on what he says. And then I began to sing to her that song, Be Not Afraid. And she started singing with me that song, Be Not Afraid. And she pulled out her rosary, which she had this rosary for over 10 years. And she would pray that rosary for me every night when I was at the tip of the spear in the Middle East. And we're there and we're singing that song, Be Not Afraid, when I recognized and I noticed that rosary she had transformed or changed from the silver color to gold in her hands. And the Lord would ultimately give my mother 18 more months. And so what a great blessing that was, and an opportunity for me to spend some more time with my mother before, as a result of Katrina. Yes, as a result of Katrina and Rita, U.S. MEPCOM said, go north, go into safety. And so we were we stayed in southern Missouri there, Bolivar, Missouri, and I was able to spend a lot of quality time with my mother during these days, and what a blessing that was. So with that in mind, Kathy, are you still about? Are you still there listening?
I'm right here listening.
Any thoughts that you had on it?
Yeah, I was that song. Where it totally switches on you. So it'll be singing Alleluia, Alleluia,
yeah.
And it'll go Krishna, Krishna. And I had noticed that being a singer, and I sing at wineries sometimes, and I do a lot of cover songs. I would become conscious, very conscious of the words, and I would see a lot of satanic in contemporary songs. There's a lot of Satanism in them. So I would be very careful of what I would be singing, and I noticed that song years ago. Well, they put a lot of those old songs into the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which my kids, they watch that. And it's not a bad movie. It's a pretty funny movie, and we enjoy it, but they listen to the soundtrack, and that song was on the soundtrack, and me and my 13-year-old were out at the pool, and we play this ridiculous game where we play music, and then we go around the pool doing all these different swims, like we'll be a whale, and then we'll be a dolphin, and we'll be a turtle. It's ridiculous for a 40-year-old woman to be doing that, but that song came on, and she started to sing it, and I looked at her, and I said, "What are you singing?" And she goes, "This song is so good." And I said, "Listen to the words. You're invoking a pagan god, and you don't know it." And she said, "Oh, I didn't know, Mom." I said, "Oh, it's okay. Just let's switch to the next song." I said, "It's such a shame, Eve, because that's a beautiful song, but they sure did screw it up by putting that pagan god in there."
So, oh, they did.
Yeah. But so they tricked the young ones. They haven't invoking the name, and they don't even realize
that. I know that. And I didn't notice it for a long time because, you know, I didn't listen to the lyrics all that much. I didn't catch that for some time. When I came home to my Catholic faith, and I started listening to that, it really did. You know, another, son, you know, Billy Joel. You ever heard of Billy Joel?
Yeah.
He had a song called "Only the Good Die Young," and some of the lyrics there, "Come out, Virginia." And I think it's interesting that they say "Come out, Virginia." I think that's a play on words right there, if you can get my meaning.
There's a lot of
Yeah, "Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait," or "Don't let them wait. You Catholic girls start much too late." What do you think he's talking about there?
Yeah.
Oh, but sooner or later, it comes down to faith. Down to faith. Oh, I might as well be the one.
Lot. Yeah, they sing a lot about it's a huge attack on our faith. If you listen to these songs, it's ridiculous.
Oh gosh, yeah. Think about
the videos that are out. A lot of them you won't realize. Well, there was one song that was bothering me, or it was a song I was singing, and it was fine, but when I watched the video, it showed these children crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross, and I thought, what the heck is this? So I investigated it further, and the singer was an Irish woman, and she was actually she was one of the very few pro-life Catholic singers, and the imagery was about aborted babies and wars and how the children suffer, you know, putting them on a cross. So it was actually for our faith. I was surprised by that one, but I almost threw that song out because of the video. But like Katy Perry, that's absolutely satanic, and I could go on and on. They are satanic. You have to be careful.
There's a lot of
thinking of a song, though, that is a Christian song. You were talking about being not afraid, and I sing that one a lot, especially at funerals. But there's a song called "Fear is a Liar," and that is one song. It's contemporary Christian music, and I love that song. And it is so true. And I think about it all the time because we're in the pandemic of fear. And I always say, fear comes from the one below. That's something that Judy used to say. And fear is not of God, and fear, he is a liar. That is the song. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath. It's so true. That song is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were trying to promote. We were trying to promote good Christian alternatives, because a lot of the, I mean, you'll Kiss. You know, Gene Simmons told American Photographer June of 1980 that the letters for Kiss stood for Kids in Service for Satan. They didn't hold no bar on that, you know, whether they were doing that for a gimmick and whether it was all for show or we, you know, it doesn't really matter, because when you put it out there like that, you're influencing young people, and how sad that is. They had a song called Destroyer, Destroyer. I was raised by demons, trained to reign as the one. I am the Lord of the wasteland, a modern-day man of steel. And I gather darkness to please me, and I command you to kneel before the God of thunder and the God of rock and roll. And the God of rock and roll will rob you of your slowly rob you of your virgin soul. I mean, you know, they were really out there with all that. And
well,
so it's really, yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne, who, you know, was Black Sabbath, you know,
yeah.
That was the name of the band. That's, you know, satanic.
Oh, much of it was. And it's really sad because they used their talents for evil.
For evil.
And
yeah.
They have no fear. They had no fear. You check this scripture out here. I don't understand how they can have no fear unless it's just total atheism or whatever, or demonic, I guess you would say. But anyway, this is what Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 6 says. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause sin. Such things must come, but woe to the one through whom they come. My. I mean, you know, just the thought of that.
That doesn't sound like we all have a hope that all men are saved, does it?
No, it does not. In fact, you go to verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Whoa. Talk about intercession and, you know, guardian angels. Oh, my. Yeah. And so some of these people who molest children, for example, or leading them to, you know, I mean, some of this stuff that they're putting out today, these when you have 6, 7, 8-year-olds that are using this vulgar language, because that's what they're listening to, that's what they're, you know, when I was a kid, when I was that age, when I was about 7, 8, 9, I was listening to records that my mother bought me, a little record player. You know, it's a whole lot different than what we got today. But she got me this little record player that you could play 45s and 33, and you know, the difference. That was pretty cool. But what I was listening to was, I mean, like Davy Crockett, king of the old frontier. You know, I mean, you know, these were, you know, about ballads, and they were songs that dealt with American history and that kind of thing. And that was what I was kind of reared upon. But that, you know, Johnny Cash, I remember he came back in 1966. He had an album called Bitter Tears, which is about the American Indian. But it, you know, had the ballad of Ira Hayes, you know, who was a Marine. What a storyteller.
Yeah.
He, I mean, just great
the
stuff.
The old storyteller songs, those were, I have a set of CDs that are nothing but old storyteller songs. Those were my favorite. My mom and dad had a band. And so.
Really?
Yeah, so, like, sometimes they would just be at our house or at somebody else's house, and they would play all night, and my dad would say, pick me the next song, Kat, and I always pick the Battle of New Orleans or the House of the Rising Sun, and they would play, and that's how I ended up being
House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah, I still sing that one. I learned that when I was so young, one of the very first ones, and I still sing that.
My kids, when I went to Korea, I came home miraculously, I should say, for leave while I was in Korea for a couple of weeks. And my oldest son, Nathan, was interested in guitar, so I bought him a guitar. And I bought my youngest son, Jason, a Sears and Roebuck drum set. It was a cheap thing, but it was great for him to practice. And, man, when I came back home after I got back from Korea, I mean, they were actually getting pretty good. And we had a lot of fun with that. And they actually, we formed a band. We were practicing there at Fort Campbell every week. We would practice either Tuesday or Thursday night, sometimes both. But we'd just go in there and they would jam out. And people, they became favorites there. People started coming in and listening to their stuff. And it was really good. And they I'll see if I could find one that I can play here, if I can find one. But I just think they got to where when you go to a Protestant church and rock them out, when you got Catholics rocking out Protestants, that's pretty cool, actually. Because we were, you know, I was getting them all kinds of different opportunities to play. And a lot of people, wanted to, you know, so you had a band that you used to play?
My mom and dad did. My mom was in several bands. And my mom and dad played together for years. They used to play all the time. And then my brother is a very, very good guitar player. And when I was about 14, I asked, could I play his guitar? And he showed me a few things. And then I just took off with it. So I could always sing. It was funny because he had a band, like a high school band. And he set me up on this stool and he put my face in the microphone because he could play so well, but he never could really sing. And he said, sing. I remember it was Bob Seger's Turn the Page. And I opened my mouth and I sang that and the whole band stopped and they looked at me and I was afraid. And they said, oh, my God, you can sing. And so then I became the singer.
That is really cool. I'm going to play a real quick song here. This is a song, and it's just two. It's just my son, Nathan, and my youngest son, Jason. I was just talking to him a while ago. They did a little song that they put together called Psalms 23. I'd like to get your thought on it. And this was some time ago. I mean, now they're much older. And my youngest son, Jason, now he's dealing with the MMA there in England right now. And he's doing a good job. I mean, he doesn't fight. He's not a fighter, but he's a commentator and does videos and promotions and things.
Oh, yeah, that is cool. My daughter
is
a kickboxer.
And he does great. I'm real proud of him. I think he gets that from his dad. But anyway, I'm real proud of him. He's my little drummer boy, too, and Nathan, my oldest son. And he sings in this. So I'm going to play this, and then you let me know what you think, okay?
Okay.
So, here we go.
Of my
That was an outdoor concert that we played there in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. But that was pretty cool, I thought.
Cool.
But just the two of them.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool what they did with it there. And Donald, your son sounds just like you. It could be you singing that.
that's really kind of funny, actually. Oh my goodness. Oh, man.
That's cool, though. That's pretty cool. That would be fun for them. What is it? Psalm 123, I think? Lord trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. That would be a good rock song.
Oh, man. It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. I think I'll do another one here shortly here just because it's if I can find one. But, that was so special to me because, you know, just those two. Now, we were a four- or five-piece band, and they had all the accompaniments with what they did and stuff. But that was one that we were able to get into, and it was really cool. And so I just thought that was really a lot of fun. So, and to have that because it was so long ago. And so, did you play in a band or was it just your mom and dad?
My mom and dad did. I just play by myself. Sometimes I play with one other person, you know, at a time, but I don't really play in big bands, mostly because I have such a busy schedule and I want to do what I want to do and I don't need to coordinate with people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're playing for money, if you play by yourself, you actually make money doing it. If you're playing in a band, you're not going to actually make any money doing that. So if it's worth your time to go out there and entertain, so like at wineries, you're going and entertaining for 3 hours or something, and you might make, you know, between 150 to 300 bucks. And if you have two or three people, you know, and then you're traveling and then you're buying a bottle of wine and then at lunch out, you didn't actually make any money and it wasn't worth your time, you know, so.
Well, I think whatever you put out some videos today, don't you? You kind of do some music on video, playing your guitar.
Yeah, I just put them on the Facebook.
Yeah.
The Christmas parties I went to this year, I went to two of them and I played at both of them. I played Advent music at one and Christmas music at another. And
let's see, that's cool. That's very cool. Especially now, you know, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. That's a great one. I love some of these.
That is Oh Holy Night. Oh Holy Night and Silent Night, two of my favorites. And then I did the Alleluia, but it's the Easter version, but it made no difference because these people were all very Christian. And so I sang the Easter version of the Alleluia, and I told them, oh, come on, you guys know all the words to the chorus, which is Alleluia. And so they all sang it, and I told them, just think about God looking down right now and hearing all of you sing Alleluia. I know it's music to his ears. So they really enjoyed
that.
Song.
Yeah, that Sing Hallelujah. In fact, we used to use that one as a most, you know, with Journey with Mary with John Carpenter I would use that song. That is because it's very, I mean, to me, it's a very good song. I love that. It's a great song to sing, too, with, you know, that kind of the harmony, that kind of thing,
yeah,
too.
The Christian part of it, the Easter part of it, was very well written. Somebody wrote verses to match Easter, but they didn't mention Jesus's mother at all. And so then I wrote a verse about Mary. So she's in there
cool.
now.
I'd like to, do you have that recorded?
I think it's on my timeline somewhere.
Oh, if you could dig it up and send it to me, we could put it on there sometime. MP3?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on there. I think last year at Christmas time, I remember it was the Easter we couldn't go to Mass because of COVID. And I posted that, and one of the parishioners in my church said, I've been waiting to hear that, you know. So I'm
yeah.
pretty sure it's on there.
My wife, Gigi, she added a verse on with Elvis Presley. He had a song that he did, The Miracle of the Rosary. And she added another verse to that, which was really cool. My wife would play the auto harp and sing. And my mother, she loved that, which my, you know, to hear Gigi sing and do that. And, oh, I do too, actually. It is wonderful. I love that kind of thing. You know, it's kind of funny because I'm not a musician. I don't play an instrument. I would love to, but the Lord just gave me the gift of gab, if I have any gift at all, you know. That's kind of what I have.
I think the people who love music on par with the people who play music. If you have a deep love for music, it's almost the same.
Well, yeah, especially. I'm going to do one more thing here, and I'd like to get your opinion on this one, too. And I'm going to be doing a little prep. It's about Sarah. Awesome God for Sarah. Sarah was a 15-year-old girl who died just right before Christmas, and we did a honoring of her. So that's kind of a good opportunity to do it now while we have this opportunity. And then I'll get you right. Then I got Jason and Nathan doing one more little song there at the end of it. So I'd like to get your idea or your thought on this one, too. I'll go ahead and start it right now.
Okay.
All right. I'm Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, and these are my two sons, Jason and Nathan. And we are coming together again, a return of Final Hour for DeeperTruthBlog.com. And we want to dedicate this song, what we want to entitle it, as Sarah's Song. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. Sarah was a 15-year-old girl who passed away this last past week. Due to a bout with leukemia. And through her courage and strength, you know, that she showed during these tough times, it touched everybody's heart over at Facebook, over at the Rosary Patrol. And so we want to dedicate this song and this poem that I'm going to be reading. The following is a poem shared by Deeper Truth's Margie on the Deeper Truth Christmas Show, 23rd December 2011. As taken from Angel Fire. This poem was written by a 13-year-old boy who died of a brain tumor that he had battled for 4 years. He died on December 14, 1997. He gave this to his mom before he died, and his name was Ben. And it goes, "My first Christmas in heaven, I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below with the tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular. Please wipe away the tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart.
for I am not so far away, we really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm sending you Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important, the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, my Father said to do. I can't count the blessings or love has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. Along with Ben, we want to remember Sarah, who recently passed this past week. And scripture here, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And from here, from Deeper Truth, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
1, 2, 3.
That's one of the few times I was kind of in the backup on that with my son Nathan, and of course Jason was playing the. Yeah, they. I was just so proud of them, and they did a lot. They did. They had well over almost 40 songs that they had put together, and that one was of course kind of a they just kind of used the same thing, but it was kind of, I love the musical arrangement that they did on that.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking, but they had their rockers too, man, they rock it out.
they were raised on, you know, Christian contemporary music like that, you know, that was, you know, I loved the drums and I loved the guitar. And those guys, they were pretty good, and real
what
proud
memories,
of them.
Memories of you and your boys, you know, that's such a treasure.
Yeah, it is. It is a treasure, and the military, you know, that's one of the hard things about it. You know, when you're gone to Korea for a year, you're gone to the Middle East for several years, actually. You're away from home a lot. You can't help it when you go to the field, you know, that kind of thing. That's the life of the military. But, you know, that's part of the sacrifice for this country. And so I think it's good that they're...
I wanted to touch on a point. I don't know if you know this, but there's a show on television. I saw it through YouTube. It's called The Ghost Inside My Child, and it's all about reincarnation, getting back to our main thing we were talking about. So they're pumping that into, you know, the television, that there's certain kids, they're a reincarnation of somebody else, and it's completely false.
It is.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with these kids, they're just children, and they're relating back all of these dreams. It's always night terrors they're having. If you watch that show, I sit here and teach my children, well, this is wrong, and what they're saying here is wrong, you know. But these kids have these night terrors. They have these visions of somebody else's life, and I think that's either – a soul stuck in purgatory that the child is picking that up because the child is closer to God still, you know, just coming from the Creator, I guess. Children seem to be more in tune. I know Mike, I told you before, we had a haunting in the house, and my kid was the one that was picking it up. He was kind of the
I remember you.
So I think kids pick that up, but I think that's either a soul in purgatory or it could be a demon just tormenting these kids. And there's one thing that's a remedy for both of those. If it's a soul in purgatory, they need prayer. If it's a demon, you need prayer.
You know, we spent some time there when we went to Arizona, my wife and I. We went to Tombstone, Arizona, and our grandson, one of our grandsons, they wanted to go see one of these where they would have these, where you could turn on the lights and all these things that these ghosts are supposed to be doing and whatnot. That they have their the ghost chaser kind of things. And so we decided, because he was really wanting to do this, and I thought, well, why not? I thought of it as entertainment. But we actually would, you know, that's the way, well, what else are you supposed to think of it as? And so this particular night, it was just me and my grandson. Nobody else was there, but just us two. So they were able to get everybody, the sponsors and everything. They had all these machines and everything all hooked up for demonstrations. And sure enough, they had these things taking place where, you know, I don't want to call them ghosts or whatever they were, but I asked them. I said, Are you stuck here? Can you move about? Like, you know, the Virgin Mary, she doesn't just go to one place and that's the only place she goes. She's all over the world. And a lot of the saints are the same way. And in this case, they were saying, well, the message that I was giving, that they're stuck there. They can't get out of there. And so I was starting to share with them some scripture, you know, It was interesting to see some of the responses I was getting from that. I don't think that the organizers of this was expecting me to come about it as the way I was.
Yeah, they never enter dialogue with anything like that, because that can be dangerous. And having been the victim of a haunting, I am super careful. So they did the same thing when we went to Deadwood. They had a little ghost tour, and the kids, we met this other family, and the whole other family was going, and the kids wanted to hang out and go, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. For one, my son who sees ghosts was like, I don't want to go. And I went over to the lady who led the thing, and I said, Do you speak to these spirits, or do you invoke them anyway, or are you calling out to them, or are you just walking through the building? She goes, we're just walking through the building and telling the stories. And I said, that's fine then. And so I told my son, I was like, just say Hail Marys the whole way. We did. And we didn't see a dang thing either.
we did not want anything attached
itself to us, or, you know. But we slept in the old Franklin Hotel, which they say is haunted. My son said, he sensed things there. He could sense things there. And I was like, no matter what, we all sat in our little beds that night, and we said our rosary when we went to bed. So
the one thing with that there in Tombstone, I inspected the flashlights. They were these little flashlights. I don't know how they were able to get those to turn on and off like they did. I don't know all their gimmicks and tricks. So what else do you do, you know? So I don't know how they did that. But at any rate, I saw it as entertainment. But I am very aware of the reality of the supernatural like that. And you're right about that. You got to be careful about that kind of stuff. And, you know, don't get involved in seances or anything like that. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ouija boards do.
When I was young, I had my palm read, and then I found out later you're not even supposed to do that. So I went and confessed that in confession, be rid of that. And that's the best cure for hauntings like that is confession. Confession is one of the strongest exorcisms. So, you know, everything goes to confession, and if that's just nothing to mess around with, that can make your life a living hell.
Literally. Actually, I wrote an article. One confession is worth 100 exorcisms.
A lot of people don't understand. I had the priest come in and bless my house, and we still had problems. Well, the problem is you. You don't have on the armor of God. You're the problem. You need to go to Mass. You need to stay in the state of grace, or those things are going to keep pestering you because they can. They have authority to be there because you invited them.
That's interesting. Very, very interesting. And so that's just something that we got to stay strong on.
For us, it was a multi-year battle. And that is the one reason we say rosary every night, because rosary is so powerful. It's like a hammer to the head of these things. They don't come around.
Oh, yeah. And what a wonderful thing to be with your children and teaching them and sharing, you know, getting them to participate.
My son was the one that, and he's on the autism spectrum, but the one that sees all these things, he went over to a friend's house, and he came home freaked out, and he goes, Mom, there was a lady in a red dress sitting on the couch, and she wasn't, like, nobody else knew she was there.
Wow.
I was like, well, don't go to that friend's house no more.
Wow. Well, Kathy, I thank you so much for coming on and participating with me tonight. It was a joy. But it is important for us to hold fast to our holy Catholic faith and not get caught up in all these false doctrines and false prophets. And
right. That's
what a lot of this is. This stuff that's pushing all this, it's sin. And I loved it. I'm glad that John Carpenter shared that the other night on what Our Lady said about that. I had written about reincarnation in the past because, you know, it's something that it's becoming part of our culture. You know, before 1960, you could not have, when you die and you get buried. Well, now people are getting cremated today. People are choosing to do that. Well, back in the before 1960, you could not, as a Catholic, do that because it had the connection with East paganism and stuff. But because it's become so Americanized, I guess the church kind of allows it today. And I guess, people are doing it. But that's
people do it mostly because they got such a scam going with the funerals. They cost you $10,000, and it costs $1,200 to get cremated, so they're doing it. But I told Dave, he better plant me, better not burn me, or I will come back and haunt him.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I guess ultimately, when the Lord does come back at the second coming at the parousia, when he does return, everybody's going to be raised. Everybody, the body and soul will be reunited, and we will have a glorified body. We will be like him, but it'll be like our Lord. And even those who are damned will have a glorified body, but they ain't going to like where they're going. Oh, no. So you don't want to go there. No. So it is so important for us to practice our faith, get to know our faith, and be strong in our faith, to love the Lord above all things. And it's good to have fun. I enjoy what we're doing tonight. I love football. You know, I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. But all things are in order. You know, God first, family second, you know, your spouse second, really, the children right there connected. And it's all connected that way. But then, you know, work and then fun and play. You know, it just all kind of goes down the line. So everything has to be in order. And God has to be first and a part of everything that you do. I don't have no problem. I went to Arrowhead. And one of the things I was so thankful for because of all the stupidity that was hitting the NFL the past couple, 3 years because of this whole thing about just basically dishonoring the flag and the national anthem and the troops and that kind of thing. That was just totally, Kaepernick, that whole thing. That was hard. But, when I went to Arrowhead just, started the 6-game winning streak. I saw the Chiefs play the Giants there at Arrowhead, but it was so awesome. There was nothing but the honoring of the flag. And when they were doing the national anthem, they had a professional musician that was playing the national anthem, and everybody in the stadium was up there. I mean, it was awesome. And they were singing the words. To me, that was it was inspirational. They had parachutes. Huh?
I love it when everybody sings the national anthem. That's the way it should be.
Exactly. And they had, people jumping out of helicopters or what have you and coming down, parachuting down. And the last one had the American flag. And it was just everything was, considering what all we had been going through the past couple, 3 years, I was worried. I was worried that it would be all this woke stuff and everything else. But, no, it was well done. And so I give credit to the organization there in Kansas City because they did a great job. And I talked with some people that went to the very first game when we played the Cleveland Browns, that they didn't have any of that garbage going on there. It was all very respectful and very well done. And, for a lot of people, they won't go back to the NFL. They won't watch any more games or anything like that because of what happened 2 or 3 years ago. But if they've cleaned that up and, they're actually doing some good things, well, then, okay, good. So, but my point is that there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. You know, the first, you know, scriptures, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and what he created was good, you know, so.
My aunt told me that God wants you to have the desires of your heart. And so he will even send you fun things, and he'll send you, you know, like an item that you may have wanted, as long as you don't want it more than you want to take care of your family and love God.
Right.
He might even send you
right.
that item. He's done that with me, you know. So he wants to give good gifts to his children.
Yeah. And the greatest gift he could give us is a victory on Thursday night when we play the Chargers.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But that's fun. It's all fun and everything. So, well, Kathy, thank you so much. This is fun. I really do enjoy this again. And thank you for participating. And send me over some of your material. I would love to be able to look at some of that and play some of that. You know, it's just awesome. And, you know, we have, other members, you know, Penny Warmer, she's a musician. She sings. She's got some CDs out there. And we got, we just got a lot of different, we got some new people in that's got all kinds of talents. And we just want to thank each and every one of them. So, well, God bless you there. Kathy, would you go ahead and say a Hail Mary for us to give us a little bit of a dismissal here?
Sure. Do you care if I say it in Latin?
No, go for it. Go for it. That's awesome.
Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, de tua mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. When I was leading Bible studies in Iraq and had some of the Iraqis that were there, and they asked if they can pray in Aramaic. And I thought, yes, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And so thank you, Kathy. I'm going to end this with a song called, and I think you mentioned it earlier, it's called Oh Holy Night. So I'm going to go ahead end this with that song. And God bless you and Dave and your whole family and everybody out there listening to this or will listen to it. We get a lot of people that will listen to these on the archive because they're out there forever now. You know, I love this. So this is part of Christmas. But hang tough with your holy Catholic faith and don't taint it with all this culturalized paganism, the return of paganism. So let's stay true to our faith. Good night, everybody. Good night, Kathy.
Good night.
When Christ was born.